Before we come to the Lord's table, I would like to take some time in preparing our hearts by bringing you to a part of Scripture and for us to think about the crucifixion of Christ. And my text is in the Gospel according to John, and chapter 17, and there the first verse. It's a high priestly prayer of our Saviour. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And most particularly, I want us to bear in mind the phrase, the hour is come, because our Saviour had in mind his crucifixion, and also his resurrection, his ascension, and his place in glory. But it begins with the crucifixion. The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Today is Good Friday. And if we look in the scriptures about the coming of Jesus Christ into this world, it is described as the fullness of time, that it came in a time appointed in eternity by our God. And our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, came into such a world as this. The world that we live in, not in our time, but the same world, same kind of people, the same kind of indifference, the same kind of running here and there, and filling lives with all sorts of things, as we have seen on the way to church today, as if he had not been, as if he had not died, as if there were no Son of God. And so people have gone about their various affairs just like that. And he came to such a world like this because we learn in the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The place that we are particularly thinking of is Calvary. The person is the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. The purpose is the glory of God. That's the purpose. Here are the words again. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The reference is to a great event. And in this great event that we're going to think about this morning, a door was opened. A door was opened to glory. That ordinary people, just like ourselves, and we are ordinary, ordinary men and women, might by the grace of God find peace with God and know that now that there is a door, and there is a way to glory for men and women. You can say, if you like, it is the season, it is the hour of grace. And we are living in such a time as that, the hour of grace. Now then, may I just put my message like this to you? I'd like to refer to the plan of God ever so briefly. The plan of God. All this was planned in eternity, in the heart of the triune splendor of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It isn't something suddenly decided by a man who became good or increased in authority and became well known and decided that he had a good idea or thoughts about God. No, it was planned in eternity by the Father, the Son, that's Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And this was the plan. Let me read you these words. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now go on to the next verse. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's the plan. to seek and to save that which was lost. That is a plan of God, God the Father. He gives power to the Son on earth that he might give to them eternal life. That is a plan. When you think of that, and think of the many, many religions in the world, and the efforts and the ideas of men, and how they torture their bodies, and how they labor their minds with all kinds of thoughts and ideas in order that they might have hold of this one thing, eternal life. And here simply it is in our scriptures, the plan of God for you and for me is that we should have life, if I may put it like this, that crashes through the grave and through death and takes us into the heart of heaven, and that there is nothing, no power in hell or in earth that is able to diminish that life that is given to us by the Son of God. The plan is that we might have eternal life. Our blessed Savior said at one time, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal life. There again he said, and you remember, when he was speaking of glory, and would you like to be deprived of glory? Not at all. There's no one really who would like to think, even however indifferent they are regarding God, or however mixed up they may be, that in their hearts of hearts, they would not like to think that God would say to them, depart from me, accursed, I never knew you. It would be an unbearable thought. Even if we are dressed up in as much religion as you can think, it is an unbearable thought. Listen to the words of Jesus our Savior. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. There we see the Savior reiterating the words here and giving the word of God. He's in, and he's talking about his Father. There is a home. It's like a mansion, and yet it is homely. And then he's saying these words, and I think these are tremendous words. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, he's saying, I do not lie. I do not deceive souls. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the plan. The plan of God. The second thing, how can this be? The passion of Christ. We refer to this as his hour. In chapter 16, in the chapters round about there, we have verses that say, my hour is not yet come. And something would happen and the disciples would be anxious. And he'd say, don't be worried, don't be anxious. No, that would not happen to me. My hour is not yet come. And then in chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer, he says, my hour is come. So we come now from the plan in heaven to the fullness of time when Jesus came into this world, and we become more precise, the hour. Oh, such an hour. Whether it was 3, 4, or 5, or 2 is of no consequence now. It is symbolized by 1 hour. This was his hour. That this was the greatest event. All history and all events in the world hardly bear any relevance. And they have only relevance in as far as they affect the kingdom of God and the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the great pivot of it all and the center of it all. Our Savior, the Son of God, his incarnation, and particularly his redemption and his resurrection. He spoke to his disciples. They had a supper together. And he said these words in Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. He's going to tell them. He's going to share with them about the hour that has come. And this is what he has to say. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Remember, the cross has not been yet. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying this, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This bread is my body, which I give. This blood I shed for you. What's he telling them? Yes, it is a remembrance. He's there laying a foundation and telling them, before long, you will see that happen before your very eyes. You'll see it take place. And it did. In Luke 23 and verses 33 and onwards, we have these words. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then a little later, there's a conversation we know between the thieves. And then a little later, those great words of our blessed Savior, it is finished. In the words of the poet Isthwyn, one verse from a poem of his, where he said, it is finished, Jesus said, as he bowed his mighty head, all that God had ever planned had been accomplished for man. Tremendous, isn't it? All that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity had ever planned now had been accomplished for man. This, it is finished. It's not Jesus Christ saying, I'm dying, it is finished. What he's saying is this, what God has planned is now accomplished. It is finished. It is complete. It is perfect. There's a place in time, an hour of grace, where Jesus Christ bled and died. And the meaning of his death was that he paid a punishment for sin, because our sin was imputed, put on him. And he pays the penalty in full. His suffering, equal to eternal damnation. There he pays the penalty in full for our sin. That is a place. There is a sacred place in the history of this world. There is a blessed place in the time of this world. And it is the hour of grace. Now, in another part of this book, it says like this, this is your hour and the hour of darkness. That is also true when men reviled him, where men spat upon him, where Judas betrayed him and betrayed him in a dreadful way with a kiss, where his disciples mostly ran away from him. It is the hour of the Pharisees and their pseudo type of religion that they had and the way that they mocked him and said, others he saved, he cannot save himself. And the thieves in their turn, they reviled him and blasphemed as well. It was the hour of Satan, you might say. It was the hour of darkness. Yes, that is also true. But over and above that, this is the hour of darkness, of betrayal, and of cruelty, and of nails, and of crucifixion. Over and above that, he was able to say, my hour is come. Out of all that, it rises from, you might say, the debris and the horror of Golgotha and the place of the skull and Calvary and crucifixion and blood and bleeding and death and anguish. It rises above. A penalty is paid for sin, and the justice of God is satisfied. It was his hour. Listen to these words. Here is love. Vast as the ocean, loving kindness as a flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a gracious tide. What a flood that is still flowing. Grace and love, like mighty rivers. They could reach our hearts here this morning. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed the guilty world in love. And then lastly, a path of pardon. Which way are we going? Many are traveling to and fro, either with their feet or their hearts, as the case may be, going in one direction in their thoughts or in the direction of their sin or what they would fulfill. Where are you going? There is a time to consider the Son of God. There is a time to consider the meaning of life. There is a time to consider the fact of death. There is a time to consider hell and heaven. There is a time to consider that. We are all on that road, unless there is a divine intervention. There is a time to consider, yes, there is also and can be in your life and mine, more than a consideration, an hour of grace. An hour when faith is born in my heart. An hour when repentance and sorrow fills my being. And I turn as an awakened soul to my Savior, and I make my way to Him who has been to Calvary, who paid the penalty for my sin. I come as a sinner, and I receive the only thing I require, acceptance before God as a forgiven person. Have you trod that path to Him? Have you given time to consider? Has there been in your life an hour of grace? Or perhaps we can say today for you, this is your hour. There is a green hill far away outside a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains He had to bear, but we believe it was for us He hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by His precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has He loved, and we must love Him too, and trust in His redeeming blood, and try His works to do. Let us pray.